Gabby Leftwolf. I'm just going to speak a little bit lower than me, just my throat's bothering me a little bit. So everyone can hear? Not so great. So let me see.
Yeah, it's good. I hear perfectly.
Okay. All right. Just mechil with my one on the throat. Okay. So we left off in the previous shiur. We were discussing a potential wrinkle in the sugya of kavua, namely the issue of gezeira shema yigach mina kavua. On the one hand, we know on a level of the araisa, so the din is that if I walk over to the stores and I take out a piece of meat, that is a problem. That's the real makoy kavua. Whereas if the piece of meat separated by itself and I find it on the floor, that's pireish, and that's for sure going to be a mutter. And yet in between the lines, in Gemara Maseches Vachem, about shema yigach mina kavua, there's a certain scenario when midat Torah, it's definitely not kavua, but mid Rabbanim we have a problem. Mid Rabbanim we're afraid lest the person take from the stores, lest the person violate kavua, and therefore Chazal added a prohibition of gezeira shema yigach mina kavua. That's more explicit in Maseches Vachem. The problem that the Rishonim had was is that the Gemara in many places doesn't even mention that, doesn't even reference that gezeira. The Braisa that the Gemara quotes in multiple places is a piresh hochnach harayv. The Braisa says if you find the piece of meat on the floor and there are 10 stores there, it's mutter. What happened to the gezeira shemigach menakavua? So we had a lot of different answers to this in the Rishonim in the previous year. We had Tosfos quoted the name of the Ri that it all depends whether we're dealing with a kavua deraisa or kavua derabanan, but in the opposite direction. If you're dealing with a kavua deraisa, which means that the issur is nikkav b'mkomo, I know exactly where the store is, and there's very, very little to be concerned with. What are you afraid of? We're afraid that a Shema Shabbos fellow is going to go into a treifa store. That's ridiculous. So therefore, there's no need to institute a gezeira mitarabban. But if you hold that we're dealing with a kavua of only the rabbanan proportions, because it's eino nikkav b'mkomo, it happens to be kavua with the rabban because it's not bottles or the machashim, it's malchai, whatever the reasons were. And when you're dealing with something which is only a kavua with the rabbanan, then in a certain sense the fear is much, much greater. Then we're afraid the person may go over and take from that kavua with the rabbanan, not realizing that it's awesome with the rabbanan. And that was the gezeri shemikach mina kavua. So at the end of the day, says the Ri, it all depends upon how bad the kavua was. The worse the kavua, the better, the less severe the kavua, the more serious gezeira. That was the Ri's approach. Rabbi Tam said no. Rabbi Tam said the gezeira shemikach mina kavua basically doesn't apply, except for one case and one case alone. That's the case in Zvachim. What is different about the case of Zvachim? One of two things. So the Rashba quoted in the name of Rabbi Tam. What is different is that you initiated the piresh. It was kavua. The animals were standing in the barn minding their own business, and you went in there with a trumpet and started to get the animals to dance around. So you're breaking up kavua. That's very, very, we get very nervous about that. Chazal, we're very weary about that. If we're going to initiate the kavua, next thing you know is you're going to forget about the trumpets and just go and take the kavua anyway. But if the kavua was broken by itself, I'm walking by, we're staying whatever, and I see a piece of meat laying on the floor, I didn't do anything. So that's pirish. Then you have a right to follow the din derai. So that was the Rashba's version of Rabbi Natan. The Rosh had a different version of Rabbi Natan. The Rosh said, no. Rabbi Natan meant was that fundamentally we don't make this gezeira. We don't have to make gezeiras all the time. Kachia, we're a little bit more weary. There are certain areas of halacha that we're much, much more careful about than other areas of halacha. So kachim is one of those areas. So the regular standard rules don't apply in kachim. We go the extra mile in kachim. So as we know, in a lot, there are other areas of halacha we go the extra mile. The sugyas of inyan diyoyman, pikuach nefesh is another area we go the extra mile. Sometimes we do things in the realm of pikuach nefesh that may not be absolutely, completely necessary. But that's also part of the mitzvah of chayvim. That's what those who've read some of Rabbi Twersky's beautiful pieces over the last couple of weeks. So we had a couple of the yukim from Sukkim and from Rambams that the lashon of ma'od is a phrase that the Torah uses only in certain times. The Torah doesn't say about everything ma'od. Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, ma'od ma'od hevi shval ruach. You have to be very, very humble. So humility is not something that we take lightly. It's not something we say, yeah, I was yaitzeh, it's had a chatzi shiur of humility, that's good enough. No, no, no. You have to have a shiur shalom and then some of humility. Have your own mode. So another phrase, another time the Torah uses the phrase mode is, yishamush bo nafshcha me'od. The Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, that's one of the mekayros for the idea of nishmatim asher seichem, that you have to be careful, you have to take very careful about your health. So he has the yukim from Rambam, statements of Chazal, that in the realm of health, so it's also something that you have to be ma'od and ma'od ma'od, and the regular rules that we would normally govern other areas of halacha do not, they break down in the realm of shmiras hanefesh, shmiras haguf. So that's a halachic concept, that some areas of halacha we go the extra mile because of the severity, because of the significance of it. So this is also true in the realm of kachim, that we go the extra mile. Chazal made certain chumras in kachim that don't apply in chulin. So this is one of them, says the Rosh Badash Rabbein Tam, that we go the extra mile in the realm of kachim. And we make a gezeirah, even though between you and me, it's unlikely, very, very unlikely. The odds someone's going to be yishem yichem and akavua. Yeah, come on, it's not going to happen. So you're right, for chulin, we don't have to be so careful, but for kachim, we do. That the standards that govern kachim are higher level standards than other areas of Allah. Then we had the very end of the shiur on Wednesday, we called the view of the Ran. The Ran said that when do we make the gezerah? So we make the gezerah when it was piresh lefaneinu. When we stood there and watched the kviyas unraveling. We didn't initiate it, but we saw, like the example the Ran gave him, Sachem the test, we saw the mouse run in and take out the piece of maybe chametz, maybe matzah. So that's a huge problem. Gezeirah shemigich b'nekavu means if it's piresh lefaneinu, if the kviyas was unfolding, was breaking apart, disintegrating in front of our very eyes, that's already a problem because we saw it kavua. It was kavua a second ago, and now here today, gone tomorrow, we saw the kviyas breaking up. That's a big fear because next time I'm not going to even bother waiting for the kviyas to break up. I'm going to go and do it myself. So piresh lefaneinu is a red flag. Piresh lefaneinu is a caution sign. Piresh lefaneinu means stop, hold it, relax, be careful. So at the very end of the Shia on Wednesday, we pointed out that none of the other Yishanim understood like the Ran. Not the Rin, not the Rabbeinu Tam, not the Rashba, not the Rash. Nobody else said this Chilik Rabbeinu Tam. And the reason why they didn't was probably because they were of the opinion that Pirish Lefaneinu is not Gezeir Hashem Yikach Menachavua. According to the Ran, those two statements are synonymous. The Pirish Lefaneinu of Psachim Daftes, the mouse running into the house as we're watching it, we're videoing the mouse running and picking out the piece of the matzah slash chawa in its mouth. That case of Pirish Lefaneinu, the Ran says that is Zvachim. What appears in Psachim Daftes with a mouse with a piece of bread in its mouth is an animal of kachim mixed up to other animals. It's the same sugya. The sugya in Zvachim and Psachim, it's all the same sugya. That's the Gezeir Shema, Shemikach Menachavua. According to all the other Rishonim, not at all. Those are two different sugyas. Pirish Lefaneinu is not a Gezeirah D'Rabbana. Pirish Lefaneinu is Kavod D'Araisa. In order to be Kavod D'Araisa, it need not be that you walked into a store. As long as you witnessed somebody walking into the store, to somebody or something, it could be a Jew, it could be a goy, it could be a mouse, it could be a dog, it doesn't matter what it is. If you watch the act of Pirish Lefaneinu, that is Kavod D'Araisa. That's not Gezeirah. That's already a big Machlaikis. That's a major Machlaikis in Rishonim and Len Machlaikis in Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Now, on the level of the Araisa, what would Moshe Rabbeinu say about Pirish Lefaneinu? So we know that if I brought up a shout to Moshe Rabbeinu that I walked into a store, that's Kavua. But what if I didn't walk into a store, but I watched somebody else walk into the store? I watched the guy walk into the store. I watched the mouse run into the store. I watched the mouse run over to the pile of chametz and matzah. Is that Kavua the Araisa? So according to some Rishonim, yes. And according to the Ran, that's only a problem in the Rabbana. So it's that last point of the sugya that emanates from everything we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks that now becomes the basis for a discussion in Shulchan Aruch, a very, very, very perplexing psach of the Shulchan Aruch. But in order to appreciate the psach of the Shulchan Aruch, we have to read two makaris. We have to read 15 and 16, and we have to compare and contrast them together to appreciate the problem. It's a problem that has been bothering Gedolei Acharonim for hundreds and hundreds of years as to what in the world the Shulchan Aruch meant with these two statements. And part of the answer, at least according to some, may be found in some of the things we've been talking about. So we go to the 15th of the Mamre Kavos. The Shulchan Aruch is not even talking about Kavua. This is not the part about Kavua. It's in Simen Kuf Yud, which happens to also be the Simen of Kavua, but this particular statement is not Kavua. So Shulchan Aruch says as follows, 15th of the Baram Kamos, Suffolk Treifa Shnisar B'Acheros. I have an animal, it's a Suffolk Treifa. What made it a Suffolk Treifa? I have no idea. I don't know. Some Shala came up, some Suffolk came up, and the Maisa, I have a piece of meat. It's a Suffolk whether it's Treifa or not. Obviously, I can't eat it the way it is. But now that piece of meat got mixed up with other pieces of meat. The problem is, if it would have just been a simple bittul bara of chai b'tri batal, it would have been great, but not so simple, because we're dealing with types of things that are not batal. Maybe it's a chetich or a liskabein, maybe it's a davachoshuv. So it's something that bittul's not going to help us. So bittul's not going to help us, what can help us? So the following fascinating question that the Rishonim raise. Suffolk treifesh is abecheiros. The only thing that can save us is bittul. If bittul's not going to work, if the piece of meat isn't subject to the rules of bittul, then you're done. You finish its treif. But the question is, why is it a problem? Why can't I walk over to this big pile, I've got 100 pieces of meat, and one of them is a suffix treif? Why can't I just simply yank out a piece of meat and say, listen, any given piece that I pull out, I don't know is the mutter piece, because the treifas are not bottled. So I can't say about those that isn't epically said. I got that. I realize that. But me de sveka lo nafka, it's still only a chance that the piece that I'm pulling out is treif. I mean, statistically, I'm probably not pulling out the treif piece of meat, but me de sufek lo nafka, but svekas are not mutter. But let's not forget, this piece of meat was never really vaday osur. It was only sufek osur in the first place. I never knew in the first place whether there was a problem with treifas in this. So, l'chora, this seems to be a prime candidate for what halachic principle? Sveika. I have a double doubt. And we all know the Gemara Ksuba Staf test tells us, even though Sveika deraisa l'chumra, Sveika l'kula. Whenever you have a double doubt, I could say, maybe it's mutter, and maybe it's asar. And even if it's asar for reason A, well, maybe it's mutter for reason B. As long as I can present that kind of a Sveika, I'm good to go. So it's over here. What's the Sveika? I have a piece of meat in front of me. I don't even know that it's treif. I have a chance, it's a possibility, maybe a treif. Maybe this problem is a treif. I have no idea. So it's a suffix whether it's a treif, something that's not a treif. Okay, I can't eat it. But now this piece of meat gets mixed up with other pieces. And again, it's not bottle because it's the b'choshev. It's not bottle. Okay, it's not bottle. Zozan, it's not bottle. But it's still suffix. Let me yank out one of these pieces of meat, two of the pieces of meat, five of meat, whatever number of pieces of meat, and hide behind. I just created a second suffix. I don't have to create a vada heter. I just have to create a second suffix heter. Once I create a second suffix lahater, I can join forces with the first suffix lahater and call it a day. Say, sveik is mutter. Suffix maybe was treif, and maybe it wasn't treif. And even if it's love, it's treif. Who says the piece that I took out is the treif one? Maybe the treif one's still left behind. So that should be a classic sveik. So come to Shulchan Aruch and says, forget it. It doesn't work. You can't say that. You know why? Shekeva and Shesufik Arishalai Begufo, Ein Latir Mi Sveik Sveik. This is a phrase that has been coined Lahalacha called Sufik Echad Beguf, Vesufik Echad Betaroves. This is not a Sveik Sveik. The first Sufik is a radically different type of a Sufik than the second Sufik. The first Sufik is what's called the Sufik Echad Beguf. You don't know whether the Guf Adover is Asur or not. The second suffix is a tarevistic suffix. Namely, I have a mixture. It's not bottle. I have a mixture. And I want to rely on the fact that there's a chance that I'm taking out the kosher piece out of the tarevist. That's called the suffix with tarevist. Suffix beguf, suffix tarevist don't join forces to create sveik sveika. Why not? So that's a multi-million dollar question. Why is that phenomenon true? But the Shulchan Aruch says it's true. There are different theories out there. Why it's true, the Shulchan Aruch may have one theory, there are another theory, there are multiple theories as to why this principle is true. But I'll tell you a secret, it's not even muskum that the principle is true. There are some Rishonim who say, it's not true. It happens to be a machlokes doing their Benatam in the Ri. The Ri is the one who is the big believer in this not being a good Sveik Sveika. And Rabbi Natan said, it is a good Sveik Sveika. Taka does work. So again, Lahalacha and Shulchan Aruch has been accepted already that this is not a good Sveik Sveika. Most of the Rishonim and all the later poskim are going with the Ri, that for whatever technical reason, whatever the Rai is on, it depends on how you read the Gemara Maseches Beitzah, it depends on a lot of alumnus. When you learn Klali Sveik Sveik, you can spend weeks on this topic. But at the end of the day, that's the Lahalacha. That Sveik Echa Beguf Sveik Echa just doesn't work. It just doesn't join forces together. With that background of the 15th of the Rav Mekomos, now comes the Shulchan Aruch with the following statement. Rov chanuyos mochos b'sar shchuta, umiyot mochos b'sar nevela. I think this should sound familiar. This is our kavua scenario. 9 stores are selling kosher. 1 store is selling treif. Lokach b'yachas b'an b'enio d'em ez men lokach. I walked into one store, and I cannot remember which store I walked into. This is right out of the books. It's a textbook case of kavua. I walked into a store. I don't know which store I walked into. And now an hour later, I can't remember. Kavua, Pesachas Etzasser. You're right. But guess what? You won't believe this one. Finis Arva Be'acheras. That one piece of meat that I walked into the house, I came home and I told my wife, I just bought the piece of meat from West Englewood. And she asked me, which store did you get it from? I don't remember. You know, you don't remember. Maybe you got it from the Caribbean Grill on whatever the trefa place on West Englewood. I says, you know what? It could be. So the guy starts doing the math. Chickies, doggies, humble toast, I don't know, the dog has, he goes to all the list of stores. He says, oh, come on. For sure I bought it. 90% chance I bought it from a kosher store. So his wife says, what? You never heard of Kavua. You've got Kolaboka. So it's Kavua. Since the suffix is not, if you would have found a piece of meat on the floor, that would have been good to go. But since you walked into the stores, you're a prime candidate for, you are the candidate. You're the example, par excellence, of Kavua. It's also. But now listen to what happens. The saga doesn't end here. That one piece of meat that his wife just strafed up because she passed in Kavua, puts it down on the counter, and they're about to throw it out. And then somebody walks in and mixes up that piece of meat with two other pieces of meat. Now what? So, oh, Baruch Hashem, it's Batel Berov. No, it's not Batel Berov. It's a Chatech of the Skabed. It's a Davar Choshev. We learned earlier in Perkid and Asher, you can't be Batel those kinds of things. It's two Choshev to be Batel. So, Bittel's not going to help you. So, the guy's mom should have pickled. Now his wife is screaming at him. She's like, Gevalt, not only did you not pay attention, you bought us a Kavua meat. Now you are a Kavua meat. Now we have to throw out all the steak. Everything's got to be thrown into the garbage. Comes to Shulchan Aruch and says, nah, don't worry about it. You know why? Says the Shulchan Aruch at the end of the 16th, even though when it's Arva Be'acheros, the Edeni Keres, Betele Berov, why? Not because it's Batel Berov. It's not really Batel Berov. This is a Davar Choshev, it's not Batel Berov. Listen to the next few words. Mishum Sveik Sveika. The reason why it's Batel Berov is because it's Sveik Sveika. It's not really Batel Berov. It's Butter anyway. Sveik Sveika. What's a Sveik Sveika? Maybe this piece of meat was bought from the Caribbean. Maybe it was bought from Dougie's. The Yimtim's, because again, there's no Rov there because it's Kavua. So Kavua says Kemechza Mechza. So when we formulate the first suffix, we have to say with a straight face that 50-50 chance. Maybe it's from the kosher stores, maybe from the trade stores, knowing full well that the numbers don't support that idea, but sorry, we're bound by Kavua. So 50-50, maybe it's from the trade store, maybe from the kosher store. The Yimtim to Limits from the trade store, maybe the given piece of meat that I'm taking out now for dinner is not that piece, because after all, there's more than one piece here. So I can't hide behind Bittel Berov. I can't say it's an Epech Le'ezhetrin, eat all three pieces. That's out of the question, because it's a Davar Choshev. But what I can do is, Midei Sveik Elonavka, it's no worse than any other 50-50. So let me turn around and say, Suffolk, it's from the Trafe store. Suffolk Kosher, Suffolk Trafe, and just love a Trafe. Maybe this is the kosher piece. Maybe this is not even one of that piece of meat in the first place. So Shulchan says, great, no problem. Everything's good to go. So come all the Echorim and say, everything's good to go. Shulchan Aruch himself, in Maromokom 15, 5 Sifim later, says that Suffolk Echad Beguf, Suffolk Echad Beterovitz doesn't work. This is an ill, unacceptable Sveik Sveika. This does not meet the criteria of Sveik Sveika. The Shach has about 60 Klolim, called the Klolim Sveik Sveika. First he takes pages and pages to write them, and then he writes the Bektsara for another 5 pages. So the Shach writes at the end of all the Klolim Sveik Sveika that you have to learn the Sugis of Sveik Sveika. It's one of the hardest Sugis in Shas. You have to put together all the Gemaras and all the Rishayim and all the Dimashul and everything to figure out what is a good Sveik Sveik, what's not a good Sveik Sveik, Shemechot and Mishapechs, and so many different nuances of what's called the Sveik Sveik. The Shach, who wrote the Klolim, writes, he would be very, very weary to create a new Sveik Sveik today. He says, you have to think a million times over before you have a Sveik Sveik. So Sveik Sveik is not a game. Sveik Sveik has to meet certain criteria. If it doesn't meet those criteria, then it's not going to work. So all the Echorim ask in the Shulchan Aruch, this is a violation of one of those criteria. The criteria that you yourself, the Mechaber, set up for us. You yourself quoted the Re a moment ago, Maromokom number 15, Sveik Echad Beguf, Sveik Echad Beterov doesn't work. So how come this works? How come K16 works? Why isn't this a classic, unacceptable Sveik Sveika, Sveik Echad Beguf, Sveik Echad Beterov? So if you take a look at the 17th of the Maromokomos, last in the Mount Kamos, the Shach quotes the Bach, who raised this question, and he says as follows: Habach in 17 Mount Kamos, Habach hitzig al mechaber, that the Bach points out the steer in Shulchan Aruch. The Rashba was the one who originally said that if you have a suffix of kavua gets mixed up with others, it's mutter. The Rashba is the one that we can point to as the initiator of the sfek here. Says the Bach, if you look in the Rashba, like Amr Elabif Piresh Lefanenu, the Isuro Eino Elamid the Rabbanon, Avalobil Lokach, the Asafik Echad Asim in the Torah, Avik Asafik Trevish, the Asafik Echad Tarovus Asur, says the Bach, we misread the original halacha. The only time the Rashba, who was the source of this Kulus Veksveki, ever said it, was when the original Kavua problem was not a Deraisadik Kavua. It was only a Derabbanan Kavua in the first place. What made it Derabbanan? Easy, says the Bach. I didn't walk into the store. It was Pirish Lefanenu. A mouse took the piece of meat out. A mouse brought the chametz out. That's Pirish Lefanenu. Pirish Lefanenu, says the Bach, we all know that's only Kavua Derabbanan, right? It's only Kavua Derabbanan. A sveik sveik of Safek Echem Aguv Sechem Aguv will work by Kavua Derabbanan. Why that is, that's another longest. That's the theory of the Bach. But the Shulchan Aruch is not correct, says the Bach, because the Shulchan Aruch, back in the 15th of the Maimakamos, I'm sorry, 16th, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about Lokach Mechanim. The Shulchan Aruch talks about Kavod Eraisa. You personally went in to the store, and I don't remember which one it was. That wouldn't fly. That is not a Sveik Sveika. So the Bach says the answer to the question is not an answer to Shulchan. The Shulchan Aruch is not correct, says the Bach. The answer as to when we do say Sveik Sveika is by Kavod and when we don't is a very simple formula. When the original Kavua is a disaster, it's a deraisa Kavua, then Sveik Sveika is not going to help us. If the original Kavua is only a Derabbanan Kavua, then Sveik Sveika will help us. That's the Bach's theory. So the Shach.
Rebbe, in general, Sveik Sveika doesn't work on deraisas, on a general
cloth? It does work on deraisas, but not when it's a Sveik Echa Beguf, Sveik Echa Betarovis. Only when it's a legitimate Sveik Sveika. And why that is already a whole another story. So comes the Shach and says, when the Chilas covered of the Bach, his entire teretz is predicated on a faulty premise. His premise is that Piresh is only Derabbanan. And since Piresh is only Derabbanan, that's a lower level Kavua. That Kavua we could play games with. That we could say Sveik Sveik is on. He said, who said that? You know who said that? The Ran said that. And you know who didn't say that? The Re, the Rabbinatam, the Rashba, the Rosh. Nobody else said that. So we take a look at the 17th of the Maamar Kamos. So he says that it's the end of the second line. Mashmud legamri havi kelocha Yisrael, the aser nami midaraisa. He says that there never was, nobody said it. The only one who said it was the Ran. And we don't like this Ran. We hold that it's real bona fide kavod deraisa. If Pirish the Fanenu is real kavod deraisa, then this teretz obviously is not going to be acceptable. So we're back to square one. So what is the answer? So the Bach was only able to push forward this teretz because he was reading Kavua through a certain set of eyes. Because he was mushba from the Ran, he was influenced by the Ran, and he said, "I'm going to follow the Ran's theory in Piresh Lefanenu as being Kavua Derabbanan." Then he could emphasize the stira, but nobody else could say that. So what is the answer? So when all the dust settles, what is the answer to this question, Shulchan Aruch? If Safek Echad Beguf, Safek Tarovus doesn't work, so why does it work when the first Safek is a Kavodik Safek? What's the difference conceptually between Safek Treifus, means I don't know whether this is a problem or not, and contrast to I don't know which store I got it from. They're both Sfekis Beguf. Why is that not considered to be a Safek Echad Beguf, Safek Tarovus? So if we take a look at the Shach at the end of the 17th of the Maamar Kamos, it's four lines at the bottom, the end of the line. V'lo kasha, v'may desvir leila rashba v'mechaber, b'sofik trefet, ishez arva barov, d'lo batla. Classic, sofik echa b'guf, sofik echa b'guf, it doesn't work. Why is this different? Manish tana kavua, listen to this. T'holcha din kavua chidush. Kavua is an unbelievable chidush. Kavua breaks all the rules. As we spoke b'aricha, so we started the sugi, Mr. Brandstad. I thought it was a gavaldi chidush, you toned down the chidush a little bit, but it fell out. I'm not sure anyone would have really truly said it on their own accord. And Harai, the Gemara needs a pasuk. The Gemara doesn't say, "Oh, alam likras svaru." There is some degree of pasuk here that's teaching us this chiddush gadol of kavua. We have a rule when you have the principle of a chiddush, we minimize chiddushim. Chachatafni b'sivkat yedavish emiran b'shum debechol duchte az linam basaruba the ein lechabo el chiddushay. Normally, we should have followed Rove. Statistically, we should have followed Rove. The Torah is mechadish, that's not too. Okay. We are maminim b'nei maminim, nasa v'nishma. The Rebbe Shalom said kavua, we accept it. But one thing we don't do with it, We don't go run and extrapolate somewhere else. We keep it where it is. We keep it locked on the lock and key. If and when it's the case of Kavua, then we are bound by Kavua. But we don't jump with Kavua to extend to other areas of Lach. This is a general rule in Chidushim. When something is a big, big Chiddush, then you can't extrapolate. You can't start to derive and say Svaris from one thing to the next if you don't understand it. And Chiddush, by definition, means you don't understand it. That's what a Chiddush is. A Chiddush is that it doesn't fit into the regular rules. This is also part of the parasha of Yad HaDiyoma, and the sugya that we're learning for the last several months, is the notion that when you don't understand something, it is very, very hard to extrapolate. That's the ABCs of Lumbus, is that unless you really have your hands wrapped around the essence of what something is, to start to say svaras in something, you're kisuna baruba, someone's blind, it's walking around. So, Havdalah Favdalos, as Mechavin to Governor Cuomo. That's what he said last night. He said this, Eimichob al Chidusho. He said it in his, not Lumbusha terms, but he says that, how can we extrapolate and make rules? He said one of the difficulties that he's experiencing, and everyone who's trying to set policies experiencing, is that we try to set rules based on our understanding of something. But if our understanding of something is constantly in flux, what was true yesterday or supposedly true yesterday is no longer true today. If all the assumptions that we made for the last 2 weeks are now being undermined, then all the conclusions that we're making based on those assumptions are also being undermined. So he said, that's why this is about a moving target. So he said that, you know, there are certain things in the medical world that we know, we already have years and years and decades of experience with. We know exactly what to expect. You know, again, there's always flukes and quirks, even in established medicine, but we pretty much know, you know, I don't give exactly. I assume we pretty much understand measles. I mean, measles has been around for a long time. We many, many experiments, many, many years of watching measles. So we understand measles for the most part. I don't think any unbelievable chiddush in Hilchus measles is going to come up. But in Hilchus COVID, chiddushim every 5 minutes because we don't, it's in the Chabal Chiddusho. So that also, that combined with, we said before, that it's an Indian of related to Hatzolos Nefashos, you have to have ma'od, you have to tread very, very lightly, very carefully. It's a combination of those two factors that create the necessity to tread with unbelievable care. Because number one, the stakes are so high, that it's an area that not just the medical world tells us it's high, the halacha tells us it's high, that the Torah says, b'shmor nafshecha mi'od, that the Rambam says you have to be ma'od, ma'od, careful to be kuchen nefesh. So it's an area where the halacha superimposes a ma'od, ma'od type of a safeguard, combined with the fact that the fundamental issue in front of us is still a chiddush. Chiddush means we don't understand it. It's a davar sosa saklal. So this is also sosa saklal. There are certain things that this disease is doing that are sosa saklal. There are things that the doctors themselves don't understand. So you combine those two facts together, it's not surprising that you have to end up with a ma'od, ma'od, ma'od care. It means there are certain decisions that have to be made that probably would not have been made under normal circumstances because we're not living under normal circumstances. So again, that's just the background to understand, to appreciate that not only is Komo have to make certain decisions, other people also have to make certain decisions. So people should understand and should appreciate that if the decisions sometimes are made that appear to be a little bit ma'od, 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 so it's because of those factors that are combining together. But back to that story. So the Ran says that Ein Lecha Bo Ela Chidusho, that it's a tremendous chiddush, and therefore we are bound by the rules of Kavua when Kavua is presenting by itself. But if Kavua combines with other things, namely it's a Taravis, it's not a Kavua anymore. It's a Kavua plus another factor. So we're not bound by Kavua anymore. Kavua doesn't speak to me over here. Zenirli Boror Vidas Arashba Vuadir Mechaber. The Shach is willing to say Zenirli Boror. Wow. Okay. I'm willing to hold on to the Shach for that. The Shach was Boror. I don't know about it. For me, maybe it's not Boror. The Shach is Boror. Fine. So back to our story. So we have the steer in Shulchan Aruch between sometimes we're saying Savayach Beguf Savayach Dorov is acceptable as a Sveik Sveika, and most of the time we're not. How do we resolve that contradiction? So the Bach resolved the contradiction by going down the route of the Raisis versus the Rabbanans. But the Shach said that's not a correct answer because that is making that faulty assumption that when it's only Pirish Lefenu, that's only the Rabbanan. The Shach says he doesn't think that's right. If Nafla Eso, Nafla Binyan. If the premise is not right, then all the, as we said before, if the premise is not right, then all the resulting ramifications are not right either. So the Shach says the basic premise is not correct, that Pirish is not the Rabbanan. Tosa didn't say it, and the Rashba didn't say it, and the Rosh didn't say it. Nobody said it. The Ran said it, but nobody else said it. So therefore, the Shach was searching for another answer. Is there any other answer, any other way to deflect this question? How can we be, in a sense, more makil by a tarovus of kavua? So the Vilna Gaon, and I put on my cross with the Gra, suggests another mahalach. We'll wrap up the sugi with these words of the Vilna Gaon. Vilna Gaon says that, what's the problem of Sofik Echa Beguf Sofik Tarobis? I said very, very quickly, oh, it's a problem. It's a big problem. 15 different reasons why it's a problem. So there are many, many reasons why. One of the reasons why Sofik Echa Beguf Sofik Tarobis fails is because the Sfeikas have nothing to do with each other. Sfeika means you have to combine the Sfeikas together. There has to be a certain Sirfa Sfeikas. You have to be talking the same language. You take one Sofik is talking one language, one's talking another language. That's the two can't join forces together. Sfeik is very, very tricky because one of the strange enigmas of Sfeika is that the Sfeikas cannot be too similar. If they're too similar, then they bump into a Taisin Ksuba Stav Tes called the Sfeika B'Shem Echad. And that's, according to many, a basic violation of Sfeika. So they can't be too similar. On the other hand, they can't be too different. If they're too different, then they're not talking the same language. You can't go out to war with two soldiers who can't communicate with one another. So the Sfeikas have to be in the same league, talking the same language, the same types of Sfeikas, but not too close for comfort. If they're too close for comfort, then they're not a Sfeik. They're just one grandiose Sfeik Echad. So much of the difficulty in learning the Sugis of Sfeik is to walk that fine line. You have to get it half of those. Not too hot, not too cold, just in the middle. You gotta get the porridge. It's gotta be just perfect, perfect temperature in order for it to be a Sfeik. So the Gra suggests that the ultimate chisaron, the real reason, the real flaw in a Sfeik Echa Beguf Sofik Tarov is that they're not talking the same language. They're just too apart from one another. So a Sfeik Echa Beguf means I have an animal with a hole in its one of its eivarim. I don't know, is this a treifa, not a treifa? I'm not sure when the hole happened, etc. That's a Sfeik Echa Beguf. In a Sfeik of Kavua, it's a Sfeik also of Tarovus proportions, because if you think about it, every Kavua is almost like a tarovus. It's not a real tarovus. The stores are not literally mu'ur b'yachad, but they're kind of mu'ur b'yachad. Namely, there are 10 things here, and I'm not sure which one I'm coming from. So that's a tarovus type of halacha. That's why the Siman of Kavua is in Hilchos Tarovus. It's part of tarovus. It's not the same as I have a suffix, I don't know when the hole happened. Did the hole in the animal's throat happen before it was shechted, after it was shechted? That is not the Hilchos Tarovus. That's a suffix echad beguf. That's a subject that relates to a metzias advarim vis-a-vis this gufa behema. If I don't know when I walk into the house whether I bought the meat from Chickies or from the Caribbean store, that's a suffix betarobus also, because there are multiple stores, multiple sources, and I don't know where my meat came from, which of those sources my meat emanated from. So it's not a pure tarobus, because it's nikra iser, etc., but it's a tarobus type of halacha. Says the Gra, it's enough in the air, it's enough in the parish of Tarobes to join forces with the second Sufik, which is the real Tarobes, and we no longer are bound by the limitation of Sufik Echa Beguf, Sufik Echa Tarobes. That's called base Sfeikas Tarobes, and the Sfeikas are close enough for them to join forces and to actually become victorious and to permit us to eat the meat. So that's a whole nother twist, a whole nother mahalach that the Gra goes down. But for our purposes, putting aside the Gra for a moment, for our purposes, the Machlokes is the Bach and the Shach, whether we can just arbitrarily say, well, it was a Piresh, and therefore it's only a Darabon, and therefore we can be more Mekel. So the Shach was vehemently opposed to that Teretz, and he had to come onto a new Teretz of Chiddush. The reason why he couldn't go down the route of the Bach is because he felt that the fundamental principle of Bach was flawed. Because the Bach was going B'ikvas Aran, and the Shach claims that Moshe Rishon didn't hold that way. So again, we try to give a little bit of a taste. Kavua is a very, very difficult sugya, and it's getting even more difficult because it's combining now with Sfeik, which itself is a very, 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 very complex sugya. So some of the conclusions, if you take two complex sugyas and combine them together, you can have a Sfeik of complexity. So it's going to be even more complicated. But at least we try to see the Rashi Prakim in terms of Kavua, particularly how it plays out in terms of our sugya, particularly some of the observations that Tosfos make in our sugya itself. So we touched upon the principles of Kavua D'oraisa, Kavua D'rabbanan, Piresh Lefaneinu, Gzeresh Yigachmer Kavua, and the different nuances in the Rishonim, trying to put together the different puzzles in different ways as to how some of these rules play out practically. Okay? Shabbat good Shabbos.
One question. We said before, Quentin, when we were discussing, when we say Kavua, when we say Rol, so the Rashba says that Rol trumps, but if you can't say Rol because of Roy the Sabbath, you pull back on Kavua. So according to the Rashba, isn't Tzor Shifting also a case of Kavua?
Is it what I didn't hear so well. According to the Rashba,
the Rashba says that usually when we have Rov and Kavua, we say Rov trumps. Unless you can't say Rov, then you fall back in Kavua. Is that not what the Rashba says?
Well, on the level of the Rice or level of the Rabbanon? Which part of the Rashba?
Oh, that was only on the level of the Rabbanon?
Well, which angle of the Rashba are you referring to?
Going back to the original question of when do we say Rov and when do we say Kavua?
The original case is pretty clear that Kavua is when the Nona Safi Makvias, when I'm walking to the stores, that's a candidate for Kavua. When the item is coming to me, that's Piresh. So then you follow Rov. So now thrown into that mix is the Gezerah Shemikach with Kavua, and now you have the questions as to, well, when did Chazal make that Gezerah or not? So the Rashba says that they fundamentally didn't really make that Gezerah. The only place we find the core of that Gezerah is in the Sugin Zvachim. We have to figure out, so what's different than Zvachim? So the Rashba says, because you created it, because you made the Piresh. The Piresh would have had by itself, then we would have let you go and just followed the Dereisa.
But if you had Chad Betray, and it was not bought off because Roy was Chabe. So the Rashba said, in that case, it would be Kavua.
But that's Kavua Derabon, because Bina Torah, it's really Batel. So Issa Nepech Lios Heter. But once Chazal Masaka, that Chaticha Chosha, whatever it is in Muskab, is not Batel, then it's not Batel anymore. Once it's not Batel, then you're stuck with Kavua. The only thing, according to Rashba correctly, the only thing that could unravel Kavua is Bittel. But once Chazal unraveled Bittel, so Mamela Kavua comes back to life on the level of Derabon. It can't be Deraisa, because if it is Mashur Benim, Taka is Batel. Once Chazal instituted, it's not both of them. The Mamela Kavua comes back to home. That's right.
Okay.
Very good. Very good. Excellent. Okay, good. Okay, Moshe, everyone, well, have a wonderful Shabbos. And hopefully, Mitzvah Shem, we'll figure out the schedule for next week. At least, meanwhile, we're on for starting Tuesday. We'll figure it out from there. Okay? Again, Henry, you're muted still.
When's the first year? The Kol HaBoker Tuesday?
Obviously, we're not going to have Friday. Is it Shavuot? So, we could either just do Tuesday, Wednesday, or we could do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or we could do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So
I guess whatever Rebbe wants. We'd
have any one of those.
Whatever works for Rebbe, notice.
So, you know, let me just think about it over. I'll be in touch. Let me just think about it over the weekend. I have to figure out if anything else.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Rebbe. Have a beautiful time.